Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Hallelujah. He's got the whole world in his hands. And that's what God wants to show you today, that he has you in his hands. So why do you need this teaching I'm about to do? Because this teaching is going to complete this experience of 5 hours prayer for you. Why do you need this teaching? Number one, because majority of you on this call are at an age or at a stage of your life where you have many decisions ahead of you. Many decisions ahead of you. Majority of you on this call, the next 2 years are critical for your future. At least 60% or 70% of you will make marital decisions in the next 10 years. And that's not an exaggeration, that's true. In the next 10 years, at least 70% of you. So it's a critical stage in your life. You will make decisions about jobs. I'm sure there's a large number of you who are either serving, doing NYSC, or you're just done with NYSC, you're looking for jobs. Amen? Many of you would make decisions on things like traveling. You would make a lot of decisions in this period. Where to live, where to settle, where to serve. You will make decisions that would affect the rest of your adult lives. So listen, you need this. You need this teaching. You needed this week of prayer and fasting. You need it. Number two, your lives today need order. Order in career, order in ministry, order in your finances. I think that's what everybody really needs, especially because of the economy of the city that many of you are in, or the country many of you are in. Amen? Mm-hmm. I'm not generalizing now because not all of us are. All of us can relate, amen? Mm-hmm. But at least those that can relate, you need this teaching, amen? Far more than the rest of us, you need it. Order. Order in your friendships, in your relationships. Order in your health. So for whatsoever reason you have come, and for whatsoever reason you are listening to this, this meeting is going to change your life forever. Do you believe? Amen. Say big amen if you believe.
Amen.
Oh, I don't think you believe. Amen. Say big amen if you believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Number three, God has promised us help by his Spirit. He said, this is our year of the Holy Ghost. And in case you don't already know it, well, yesterday was proof. You know, we came on this call yesterday and we said, thank you for fighting our battles, Jesus. You are our Lubeja. Listen, God is wonderful. So yesterday I came on the call. We're supposed to have a meeting. And I just asked, what has the Lord done for you? What has the Lord done for you? And we got numerous testimonies. I'm going to read some of them to you. You know, someone said, I needed money earlier this week. I didn't want to call home. A few hours later, I received an unexpected alert. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Listen, I don't know where it came from. I don't know who sent the money. But listen, that problem was solved. Someone said, God saved my sister from being kidnapped. What? Someone said, this week, I had a lot of expenses to pay for, and my parents could not give me the money. I had money in my head, a particular amount, and the Lord provided the exact amount. Exact. Taylor made solutions. Bespoke solutions. Amen?
Amen?
Bespoke solutions. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is possible by the Spirit. It's the one that blew my mind, or someone saying that $10,000 in debt was cancelled or was sorted. What? Do you know what $10,000 is? Especially now that your exchange rate is catching up. Sorry, it has lost the race. Amen. Do you know what $10,000 is? Oh my God. So if we're doing $1,000 to $1, which it is not now, it's like $1,500, $1,700. Wow. The race is really lost. $1,700 to $1. So $10,000 will be $1,900. Amen. Today, glory to Jesus. You need this teaching. Some of you really need this teaching. Amen.
Amen.
Someone said, during the fasting period, I keyed into all the prayers and the theme, order. Every time I felt anxious about a situation, I declared that there is order, and I kept on doing it. I had an application I made last year for an internship. I wasn't getting any favorable response. And while we were praising God during the fellowship meeting yesterday, I got two emails. The internship organization called for an interview next month, and also a job I applied for called for an interview next month. Wow! Help, battle spirit. Say order in my life. Order in my ministry. Order in my career. Order in my finances. It is possible. Someone said, God saved me from an accident and from sickness. For sickness, he saved my family and I, because we've been constantly falling ill. But glory to God, all of it has come to an end. Thank you, Lord. Someone said, God gave my sister admission into a law school that she could have only gotten by grace. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we're talking about. I told you about our church. We have been looking for hall seats. Every morning I said, Lord, order. I said, angels. At some point I was like, angels, what is going on? I've not heard anything. So the devil started putting thoughts in my head. What are the odds? You know, it was like, but you know, right, that the only person that will give you a hall for your church has to be a Christian. And what are the odds that the one person that has a hall for you is a Christian in the whole of Windsor, you know? And I said, but I kept on praying. And oh my God, of everybody, we kept on getting rejections, turned down. The guy happened to be a believer. He said, you know what, I'm not. So he was in, listen, the price he gave us that hall, I did not tell you, was an impossible rate. How can I make it make sense to you? All the other halls we were seeing were from $2,000 and above per month. That was what we were seeing for all the other halls, no matter how small. Small shops were calling $2,000. And then all of a sudden, this hall from nowhere appeared. I'm sure I was one of the first people to see it because I just opened my phone and I saw it. It was at $1,400. That's a giveaway price. Are you listening to me? And the owner still asked me, do you think the church will be okay with paying this? Oh my God. So I'm sure he was willing to see if we were struggling to pay it. So that's somebody who is ready to see how we can help us in that situation. I don't think you believe. Do you believe what I'm teaching you? So say what you may about the supernatural, but some people are seeing it in their lives consistently. Are you listening to me? Some people are what? Seeing it in their lives consistently. Is this still the year of the Holy Ghost for you? Yes, is this still the year where God has promised you help by His Spirit? Is this still the year where God has promised you help by the manifest and the omnipresent nature of God? Is this still the year where you know I am walking by the presence of God? When I step into the place, favor follows me because the presence of the Lord follows me. Is this still that year for you? I don't believe it. I don't think you believe it.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Say that's this year for me. Say it's the year of the Holy Ghost for me. Say it's the year where I walk by the Spirit. It's the year where I move by the Spirit. It's the year where I'm helped by God. It's my year of Ebenezer. It's my year of rock of help. It's my year where God is ready and able to help me in my devotion and in everything I do. Hallelujah.
God.
That's the year we're in. Open your Bibles with me, everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Oh, I'm about to preach a storm. I just pray that your hearts are open to receive this. You know, some people are drawing me to give them prophetic words. I can feel it, but I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be distracted. So, listen, I'm going to teach, and then towards the end of it, we will flow. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. The Bible says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. You know, sometimes when I want to teach you guys some things, I begin to think. And I look back at all the things the Lord has asked me to teach you. And I realize that, do you know, Catholic Church, do you know that you are in the school of the Spirit? Do you know that everything God teaches you, He lays a foundation beforehand? Have you noticed? Who has ever noticed that For example, every camp meeting is a continuation of 3 years of camp meetings before. And it's always building and increasing. Oh my God. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. The way God leads us, every special awake has also been a continuation of something he has been saying before. You are in a school of the spirit. God is grooming you into something. So he has actually been preparing us about what I'm about to teach you. Have you ever heard me read this text before? Or read this text before, rather?
Yes, sir.
Yes. God has taught us about this before. I am who I am because of God. I am what I am because of God. He says, I'm because of his grace towards me. And if anyone should ask me, Pastor Mike, what is the secret of your life? If there's anything like that, I don't think I have a secret for my life. But what is the principle I walk by? What makes things work for me? It is this. I am who I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain. I labored. So my life is a testimony of grace and labor walking hand in hand in perfect synergy. Oh, but more grace than even labor. Mm-hmm. I am who I am by his grace. Are you listening to me? If there is anything like the secrets to a person's life, and this is not just me, even my father before me, I'm talking spiritual father. Are you getting what I'm saying? I am who I am. That's the testimony of my life. And that's the same grace I want to follow every single person I'm discipling. That you learn how to walk this way. I am who I am, but by the grace of God. You know, I've hinted on this in bits and pieces before. Those of you that have followed me for a while, I've said things like this before, right? So, for the first time, I'm going to teach it. How do I position myself for grace to follow me, for things to always work perpetually in my life? How can I position myself to always be successful in every endeavor, to not be affected by the cares of this world? How can I position my life? Anybody who meets me and does not know how I walk in my life would think I'm a nonchalant individual. Unless you see the hard work inside of me. I remember when I was going to, you know, I was still dating my wife, and She at some point she stopped trying to change my heart on certain things. She stopped. So I remember then they wanted me to consider going to the US. And so one day I asked her, why are you not pressuring me anymore? She said, because I know you. Because I know that there is nothing anybody can force you to do. If you have not seen the patterns of God orchestrating it, you don't do it. And that's the truth about my life. Listen, when God is involved, I don't struggle for things. It might not be the same for you, but when God is involved, listen. I'm not here to share experiences, but can I just talk a bit? It's unlike me, but let me talk a bit. You know, one of you shared on the group chat, is that a car I see for P-Mike? You know, I love you guys. You pray every day. You share prophetic words. Keep doing that. I see those things, I just don't respond. And the person put it after a prayer time. She said, is this a car I see for P-Mike? And I saw it. But I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. Before I came to Canada, one of my daughters who has moved on now, she's in Ireland now, she called me. She said she saw me. She had a dream. She saw me in a car studying. Are you see what I'm saying? And I was not in Nigeria. I was still in Nigeria at the time when she was telling me. So I knew I was traveling by other people's prophetic words that confirmed what the Lord had told me. So I knew I was going to get a car early, but I didn't know how early. Are you getting what I'm saying? I didn't know how early. So someone put on the group chat, is that a car I see for Pastor Mark? And I didn't even take any thoughts to it. So we were just sitting one day and I said, you know what? I'm tired of wasting money on cab, on entering bus every day, coming down in the cold. You know, if you know how this place is, if you miss one bus, you will stand in the cold, your ear will freeze. You know, so I said, I'm tired of this. So we thought about it. I'm telling you, we did not check our account balance. We thought about it. Lord. So we checked. We didn't even check our account balance. We stood up, went to a dealership, When we got to the, I don't know what kind of boldness it is. We carried ourselves and went to a dealership. We that were going to buy, is that person that drove us? No, we took cab to the dealership. So we got to the dealership. Then they said, you know, she's been working for a while here. So they said, they can't add her own credit to my credit. So at that point, they said they can't add her credit. That means it has to be on me that we finance the car. I'm like, So we looked at ourselves. They said they are going inside. They are going to go and confirm if they can give us the car. So we checked a few cars. We saw the first one. It was a big car that had like, I said, this car is too big. Went to another one. This car, should we take it? It was a used car. We were like, it was a bit expensive. So do you know the funniest thing? Because that car was expensive, we didn't take it. But we were walking inside. And as we were walking inside, we saw the car that was on the in their showroom. Do you know the cars they use in their showroom? The high-end cars. Are you listening to me? The cars that are out of this world. That was the car in their showroom. That car looked like a robot. It looked so futuristic. So the lady said, you can check it, marketers. So we went inside. As we opened the car, see ambient light. I won't wound. I say, what? We were just admiring. I'm telling you, we were just admiring. Let's look at it. And then we said, how much? Then she mentioned the price. And we said, it's not even far from that one. And we looked at ourselves and we said, let's get it. Listen. So we went back, we sat down, they told us the price for the car. And we looked at each other and we started laughing. And I told her, I said, let's run away. Because we're expecting that. Listen, if you know my salary, you will know that that car, I insulted that car trying to buy the car. Are you listening to me? If you know my salary, I insulted the car trying to buy the car. So I was like, they will not give us this car. But they were inside. I said, nobody's here, nobody's here. Let's run away before they come. Let's run away before they come. Then they came. And then they said, this is how you can buy the car. Broke it down, took us inside. The man said, are you ready to sign your life away? I said, yes. Let's sign it. And we're still shocked. Like, so, I don't even have driver's license. Hi. Listen, I've not done G1. There are two tests you do for license here. There's G1 and there's G2. I had not done G1. Are you listening to me? So, we left there after buying a car that I cannot drive. We got home. For the next 1 week, it made no sense to us. We were just feeling like, we messed up. We bought something bigger than us. I could not picture myself driving the car. Are you listening to me? I could not. So the car was there. I didn't have license. They delivered it the week after. It was just there. I'm telling you. Now, by the grace of God, I'm cruising along the streets with car that... So, listen. I cannot explain it to you, or I could not before, but today, I want to explain to you what I know about how God works and how God brings order to the lives of people. I cannot boast and tell you that it's because... Did you hear what I said? I was trying to buy a car that was an insult for me to be trying to buy. So, whatever I am today, it is by the grace of God. And I'm telling you. So, if I have a secret to my life, I will tell you. It is the grace of God. And I'm about to teach you because before now, I've not been able to put it into words. I've hinted this to you in bits and pieces. I've told you about my traveling to Canada. I've told you about a lot of things that God has done that I could not explain. But today, I'm going to teach about it. Listen, experiences would never be the sole material for discipleship. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. But there's a role that experiences have to play. You see, when it comes to the teaching of any group of people, many times it is always perfect to have 90% of the word of God and maybe 10% of experiences, but only if those experiences match the same thing that the word is saying. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The only time that we can ever teach you about our experiences is when those experiences are substantiated in the word of God, because the word of God has to be our primary source of knowledge, of doctrine, of instruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, in rare scenarios, we are able to... That's why we don't teach things we experience. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we don't teach things we experience. I cannot come and teach you that whenever things are easy, it's God that is leading you. No. The fact that it's working like that for me does not make it doctrinal. That when things are easy, God is working. Mm-mm. The devil can make things easy as well. Like, you see what I'm saying? But there are rare cases when I can substantiate my experience with the experiences of men in scriptures. Then I can teach it, because this is a track record of how God works. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this is one of such rare experiences on how God works. The Apostle Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. God can sometimes find a way to systematize his dealings with people on this earth. Are you listening to me? That if a minister of the gospel hits a level with God in the way he's dealing with God, and it begins to produce massive results consistently, many times we don't know how to teach it. How are we getting the results? We don't know how to teach it to you. We just know that there's a pattern in the spirit. But in those rare cases, when we can substantiate it in the word, we can teach it. I'm saying to you again, this is one of those rare cases. The Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by his grace. You know, I'm nobody. I've not reached anywhere in my life. But the small that I have seen, I want to teach you. I want to teach you. You see, I have to go confirm this. One of the consistent things with God's generals on this earth is this same principle. Majority of them, if not all of them, were people who were broken, who had hunger, and who could sacrifice everything for God. So in the end of their life, they would always tell you, I am who I am by the grace of God. They might not see it the same way, but in the end of it, they will tell you. Many of them have simple faith and simple obedience, the readiness to live their life and give everything they had for God. And God produced massive results because of that. Some of them had terrible marriages. Have you read God's generals? Why some failed, why some succeeded? Many of them had terrible marriages at the first part of their life. Some were plumbers, drivers, construction workers. But whatever they became later, it was by the grace of God. That they were ready, and their readiness matched God's opportunity to make something out of their lives. This is the same thing that they did. There is a way God lifts man and makes adjustments to life situation. There is a way God brings order to the affairs of men. There is a way God leads men. It's called supernatural leadership. That you can be at the center of God's plan for your life. That you can live your life without wasting a single day. It is possible. Let me tell you a story. In 2018, I was leaving school. Just about fresh out of school, I started learning about new creation realities. I was not so versed in it, but I already knew. I remember then myself and Simon were friends. So I went to meet her. I said, I have a problem with study. I think that there are some people that are word people, and there are some people that are mystery people. You know, I went to tell her because I was already seeing a difference in the way people presented the gospel, and I wanted to be a man who could substantiate all in the word of God. So I was leaving school. I needed to find a church to go. I had three options. So I said, Lord, where do I go? Coincidentally, I chose one of the places. I said I'll visit all of them in subsequent Sunday. So if I go to the first one today, I'll go to the next one tomorrow. I'll go to the last one after. So I went to the first one. I was all dressed up, cacked up. If you know me in Babcock, you know they had a cack up. You know, I was all cacked up, tie, waistcoat. I was a waistcoat guy. I had many waistcoats. So waistcoat, tie, everything, vintage shoe, you know, colored socks. You know how we do it now, those years. So I was all ready. Went to this church, sat down. And I don't understand the affairs of what happened that day. I'm going to a church for the first time. I'm entering there, and by some coincidence, everyone started asking me, are you Pastor's brother? Are you Pastor Aaron's brother? Are you Pastor Aaron's brother? To the point that he heard it in Abuja that he has a look-alike in Lagos. Are you listening to me? He heard it, he was not in Lagos. He heard it in Abuja that, you have a look-alike in Lagos, or do you have another son, or do you have a brother? So, resemblance and divine coincidence. Listen to what God did to me. So when I needed to ask who would be my father, God already told me, because there was already somebody who I resembled in the natural. I don't think you understand what I just said. So, I was going to ask God, God, listen, I don't even see the resemblance between me and him. I didn't even see it that day. But everybody kept on asking, ah, are you his son? Are you his brother? Are you pa-? So the first time I'm going to a church, everybody, listen, if nothing spectacular happened that day almost everybody asked me, it would have made me question, ah, why are you saying I look like this man? So I went to research about the man. I started seeing who he was. The day he saw me, he said, ah, so you are the lookalike. So I found somebody who will pastor me and father me in the faith by coincidence. I had three options. I went to that church, I sat down. When the sermon was done, everybody stood up to pray. I was still writing. I knew I was going nowhere. I knew that that was my church. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
divine coincidence. Divine coincidence. Supernatural leadership is real. I needed nothing more to tell me. Who will father me in the faith? That coincidence already explained to me. This is your father. Because only a son will look like a father. So many years later, I was asking God. And then God told me, the resemblance is not a coincidence. I saw a vision. I was walking to the back of church. There was a mirror. So as I was walking, my spiritual father was coming. It's one of those mirrors that you see a reflection of yourself, but if you look closer, you can see the person at the other side. So I was walking towards it and I was seeing myself. Then I got to my head, I didn't see my head. Apparently he was behind the door and I saw his face. So it was as though I saw myself, then I saw his head there. And then I looked again, I saw that, oh, okay, he's actually behind. And immediately the Holy Spirit ministered to me, the resemblance is not a coincidence. The day I opened up this ministry and said that we are going to disciple 21 people, what did I even say? We're going to disciple 10 times the number of people I was discipling before, which was, I think, 12 or 6. I can't remember who I was discipling before. I was in a camp meeting and the Lord lifted me from the seat in the spirit and put me where he was preaching. And I saw everybody from his eyes and the Lord told me, are you listening? The Lord told me straight up. So everything you are seeing here is a product of prophecy and divine leading. A product of what? Prophecy and what? And divine leading. I'm telling you, God can lead you. And as a result of what you're learning by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will step out of unprofitable and fruitless ventures in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter the distance between where you are and where you need to be. By the presence of God and by His Spirit, you will be aligned with destiny in the name of Jesus. This is important. By the Word and by the Spirit, order will come to your life. In the name of Jesus. Let me show you something. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. I've read this to you before. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. Oh my God, time is fast spent. What is going on? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. So, just a bit of an announcement. Next awake will be all night.
Amen.
So, next special awake will be 6 hours. Jesus spent all night in prayer. So, 6 hours. The one after will be 7. One after will be 8. We go like that. So we'll be all night in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes to the south, and the wind goes to the north. The whirlwind about continually, and comes again to its circuit. All rivers turn into sea, yet the sea is not full. In the end, what is he saying? All is vanity. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Very quickly, the Bible says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and or such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even vapor. Actually, the word vanity in Ecclesiastes is vapor. Are you see what I'm saying? The word vanity, the Hebrew word there, is actually vapor. It is nothing. So in James also, James is saying it is vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. Are you reading this text? Mm-hmm. So I've taught you this before, haven't I? I've taught you this before. What is he saying? We can make all the plans in the world. Today, I'll make money. Tomorrow, I'll get married. Next tomorrow, I will do this. I will do that. You can make all the plans in the world. But what did he say? No one knows tomorrow. No one. No one knows tomorrow. The Bible says, say to yourself, oh, I'm going to do this next year. I'm going to do that. He says, who gives you that right? You don't even know what is going to happen tomorrow. He says you should say, if the Lord wills it. So what is the difference between the will of God for your life and your natural destiny? That's the question I want to answer. Because he says, don't say you're going to do anything unless the Lord wills it. Because you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. You don't know. Because are you following me, everybody? So what's the difference? And this is interesting. Because no matter what you have today, it is not certain. That's what the Bible is teaching you. The Bible says money can grow wings and do what? Fly away. So what do we have that is certain? Nothing. Nothing. What is the hope for the future? Can anybody have such a hope for the future? Another question. Why is it that nothing is guaranteed for the natural man? Think about it. Does the natural man have any secure destiny? Let me ask you a question. Have you not seen wise men become foolish? Have you not seen rich men lose their lives? Is there a guarantee for the future of a natural man? I'll give you an example in relationship. For instance, we teach you, choose the right person, do this. We tell you how to choose the right person, how to do this, how to make sure the person is right. But nobody ever tells you that people change. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
People change. Even you are not the same person you were 7 years ago. Mm. People change. So you can have an expectation for your natural destiny. But God is telling you, change your approach. That you should ask, does God will it? If God wills it, then it will be so.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? If God wills it, then it will be so. So in the natural, I don't know how to explain this, but the safe way to live your life is not to put your life or your mind on things, because these things will pass away. And this is why many people have rejected God. Because at least they expected that, when I come to God, my future will be secure. But then, bad things still happen. You get what I'm teaching you? Bad things still happen. So how do we solve the problem? Material things can fly away. It's possible that you're not able to afford your meal tomorrow. Do you think it's impossible? Pray it doesn't happen to you, but don't say it's impossible. It is very possible. Because are you listening to me, everybody?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything material can fly away. However, in the Word of God, we begin to see some people who seemingly are having things good for them, who have such an unfair advantage, and you are wondering, what is going on? Why is this one's life different? Why does these people, who exactly gets to enjoy this thing? Is it only pastors? How do you choose the people who get to enjoy this thing? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's start with Jesus. This what I'm teaching you happened in the life of Jesus. The moment he was born, everything changed. Even the stars began to navigate people. Are you see what I'm saying? Stars that are supposed to be there, they became Google Map just because this guy's destiny must be fulfilled. So now the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. And all of a sudden, are you getting what I'm saying? They saw angels rejoicing in the sky. Everything started working. He was born in a manger, not in a five-star hotel. But yet, some of the greatest people came to honor him. Some of the wisest people came to... Who is this guy that is enjoying such supernatural benefits? Who is this guy? Every step he took was ordained. Can you imagine? You know, they were going to do your naming ceremony. So they took you to church. Today is a day of joy. Our son is here. Then a woman in church says, finally, I can die. What? What? So Jesus is taken to the temple for dedication. And the prophetess says, she can die now because God had promised her that she will not die until she sees the Messiah. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So even if they were doubting that you are the Messiah, it is already declared to everybody in the church that that boy is the Messiah. Are you seeing divine orchestration? Are you seeing divine orchestration? Every step was ordained. He needed a donkey. He said, go there and ask for a donkey. And someone gave a donkey. They wanted to do the Last Supper. He said, go and ask the master of the place that where is the place you have prepared? How did you prepare it? You didn't even know Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? How did you prepare it? Why did you prepare it? Are you listening to me, somebody? How? There was no lack in Jesus' life. He could have had anything he wanted. He spoke as if creation was destined to provide for him. And it was. It was. Everything was destined to fulfill God's plan in his life. What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? How about Abraham? He was not the most decent man. He made many mistakes. But on many occasions, God still saved his life. One day, he was walking and he readily gave his wife away just to lie, just to save his own life. He gave his wife again away. And now, God enters the room of the man and said, hey, oh boy, you are dead if you sleep with her. So, for this man, that is not the most decent man, the most moral man, God is still fighting his battle. Are you listening to me? God is still fighting his battles. God tells Abimelech, don't try it. Don't try it. Don't. Even Pontius Pilate was warned by his wife. Don't try it. What is it about these people? What is it? What is the interplay that we are seeing here? Abraham was not recorded to have prayed a single prayer in his life. Yet, God is fighting for him. What are we talking about? Are you listening to me? I'm not teaching you this to make you lazy, but listen, this is real. What is it about some people's destiny that makes God take it personal? What is it? What's that interplay between the free will of man and the sovereignty of God? Because that's what is truly at play here. The whole world revolves around free will. That, oh, everything that goes up must come down. But what is it about some people and make them defy the laws of science, all the laws of expectation, all the economic law? What is it about some people that, oh, dollar is down, but they are still okay? What is it about some people that it is when there is a famine that their family remember that they wanted to travel, so they escaped the famine? What is it about some people that even though there's a plague in Egypt, they are still safe in Goshen? What is it about these people? What is it about these people? What is it? That even though there are laws in this world, God can influence those laws for some certain people. How does it work? What's the secret? How does it work? Can God influence the outcome of your life? Even though I know that my life is fundamentally a product of choices. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the natural man expects that whatever happens in his life today is because of the choices he has made. All things being equal, even though all things are not usually equal. Are you getting what I'm saying? But what is it again? That even though this exists, I know that God can superimpose on the natural to make whatever I do still turn out for his own outcome. How does it work? Do you understand what I'm teaching you? How does it work? What is it about some people? You are working very hard in school, but the unserious guy, you know, all things are not equal in this life, though. You are smart, doing everything. Now it's time for IT. You are working in the computer shop in your backyard. One boy in your class is in NMPC. This life is not balanced. Say, don't be like, it's true. It's true. This life is not balanced that way. All things are not usually equal. So what's the interplay? Where do we strike the balance? And the question is, do you believe that God can influence your future. And can he? Can he? Can he influence the world that it makes the life you are living and your account balance make no sense? Are you getting what I'm saying? That if they wanted to do an economic review on your finances, the guys that are doing it will be shocked. They'll look at you and say, ah, Alpha, how are you going to pay for this house in G? Guy? Like, it just doesn't make sense. How? How is it that regardless of the tough times you've gone through, you are not depressed? You have the joy of the Lord. Mm. And psychologists are looking that nobody can go through what you have gone through and not have some form of emotional trauma. How are you doing it? What is it about you that makes you so different? What is it about you that causes people to favor you? What is it about you? How does it work? Please, are you listening to me? How? Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Please, is this worth your while? Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. He says, the Almighty. So, listen, there are many things to say about this verse, and my emphasis today is that he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and at the end. I'm the one who was, I'm the one who is to come. And so he's telling you, listen, pay attention, that there was never a time where he lost control of the world to humanity, even with their free will. Mm. Are you getting it? The sovereignty of God was never cancelled because of the free will of men. That's what God is telling you. That even though you think you can do left, you can do right, you can do whatever you like. You know, we get to a place where we want to overemphasize the free will of humans that we forget that there is a God who has the whole world in his hands. Hey. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He has the whole world in his hands. Is that simple enough? There's never a time that I was out of control. That's what God is saying. There's never been a time in creation that God lost control. He has the whole world. So yes, human beings have free will, but their free will is within the boundaries of the sovereignty of God. You can eat of any tree in the garden except there's always a boundary. Are you listening to me? It's in the boundary. In the boundary. Someone put it this way. It says that free will is proof that God is sovereign. Because a God who is less than sovereign can never bestow free will. Are you getting what I'm saying? It takes power to allow freedom. Do you know what I'm saying? It takes power to allow freedom. It takes power. You know, I'll read an excerpt from the devotional from Tuesday. I hope you all read the devotionals, by the way, because that's a solid life-changing material right there. So I hope you don't sleep on it. I read an excerpt, you know, from Tuesday's devotional. And it says, have you ever had a pet? Or have you ever had to babysit at any point in your life? Well, I had a pet once, a puppy golden retriever, which I had for 5 minutes, and you never know who is the I. Maybe it's me, maybe it's the person who wrote it. You don't know who the I is, but just continue reading. Amen. And by 5 minutes, I mean that we returned him as quickly as we realized that our schedule wouldn't allow us care for him properly. It was either he would suffer or our schedule would suffer. The biggest lesson we learned was about sovereignty. It may seem weird to say that. I'll say that again. It may seem weird to say, but even though you control a puppy's life, including its diet, its movement, you are not truly sovereign until you teach it to have freedom within the boundaries of your guidance. And while the puppy has freedom, you still maintain the ultimate control over its life, preventing it from chewing on shoes, touching or eating harmful things, or getting hurt. You ensure it is well, and you ensure its survival while balancing and guiding, while balancing guidance and autonomy. So, what are we trying to say here? That even though a puppy can do whatever he wants to do around the house, it is still under your control. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It is still under your control. Well, the same is with the God we serve. And so someone put it up by saying, only a sovereign God will allow free will, knowing that he controls and can influence every outcome. And you see what I'm saying? So, the puppy might be here, and you might be by your balcony. It's about to jump down, and you pull it back. Come here, come here, come here. And it wants to go again. And you pull it down. Come here, come here, come here. It has free will. It can decide to kill itself, but you are in control. And you see what I'm saying? That is how free will works, under sovereignty. So it's almost as if God is saying, do whatever you like, but my counsel will never be threatened. Are you getting it? My counsel will never be threatened. My purpose will stand forever. Check the history of men who went overboard. You know that song? Ask Nebuchadnezzar. You get it away with this Abishikah. Ask men who think they were wicked, doing harm to children of God. Ask them. They had boundaries. Because the day for this Abishik, they would chop paper. Amen. I don't even know that song, by the way. It's a gospel song, though. Listen. But even ask Herod. Ask Herod. Ask all of them. No matter the free will they have, you get, if you cross that line, you go chop grass, chop paper. are you getting it? You know. Remember our Daniel series?
Yes.
Epiphanes. Do you remember him? That wicked guy. Death will humble you. Nebu was just viewing his environment, walking around. You know, I said, come here. you have passed your boundary. Are you see what I'm saying? God is still in control. He's still in control. I'm not threatened. My purpose will still stand forever. So man is only free within the boundaries of God's sovereignty. So yes, you say, my life on this earth is a product of my choices, but even that earth has a destiny. Are you listening? Even that earth has a destiny. You know, the Bible tells you that the world has once been destroyed by water. 2 Peter tells you that it will be destroyed again by fire. So that earth will be destroyed. And then we'll now come and live in a new Jerusalem, a new earth. So, listen, no matter what you say, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. Can I bust your head a bit more? You have a choice to accept salvation. But listen, your choice is also in the sovereignty of God. And the proof of the sovereignty is that if you accept, you are saved. If you don't, you'll be born in fire. The end is sure. Hey, are you listening? The end is sure. There are only two ends, fire or heaven. So choose wisely. Choose wisely. Is it our fire or heaven? Choose wisely. This is important. Choose wisely. So you are free to determine where you will be when it comes to eternity as well. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that you can do whatever you can does not mean God is not sovereign. What I'm teaching you would answer majority of the questions in your life. And that's why you will realize that yes, God can superimpose into people's lives and other people are living natural. And he's not going to superimpose into everybody's lives. There are criteria that make God, because God is still the same God that puts that order there and that structure there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So someone loses his mom and says, why me? It is because there are still natural laws that exist. But another person loses his mom and he says, mom, wake up, and she checks up. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It is because even though there are natural laws, there are supernatural laws as well that exist. and superimpose. Never forget on the natural. Never forget. Never forget. So you can see a generation of folly, people failing, and in the midst of that, God's sovereignty is still intact. I get what I'm saying. Has it happened to you before? A boy, God told his mother, you'll be a great child. In his primary school, he was just foolish, utterly foolish. Secondary school, utterly foolish. Poof. Have you seen people like that before? Just enter university, boom, just start looking fresh. What's going on? He just starts one business, his business blows. Now he has a startup. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Just that, for God's plan to be done, even the foolish things will look wise, will become wise, not just look wise. For God's plan to be fulfilled. So the question has never been God's ability to influence your future. No. The question is, why does it not happen to everybody? Who agrees? Because you know that God influences people's life. The right question will be, why does it not happen to everybody? Why? Why? Because you get what I'm teaching you, everybody.
Yes, sir.
So, it's almost looking as if you cannot choose between your natural and your supernatural destiny. Because if you wait for the natural, well, whatever comes, comes. But there's also some people who believe that, no, what will be will not be. There is a God who has my life in his hands. Do you understand this? Think of Joseph. His brothers hated him. See, they had free will. They hated him. God did not make them hate him. I get what I'm saying. Haters will hate, potatoes will potatoes. It's normal. That's just that's just the way. They hated him. But even in their hatred, God has said, you will bow down to him. Listen, you are free will. Selling, slapping, beating, do whatever. But can I tell you what will not happen? He will never die. Are you listening to me? He will not die until the word of God over his life is fulfilled. So, they said, let's kill him and see what will become of his dream. So they carried him. They want to kill him. And just as someone just said, no, don't kill him. Let's turn him to a well. Let him suffer. Coincidence. Right? Then they throw him into the well. And just as he is in the well, he would have starved to death and he would have died there. Coincidentally again. Some slave traders were passing. And they said, no! Rather than waste, you see, free will. It's not God that is controlling them. But God did. I hear it. Coincidentally. Say, no, let's not waste his life. Let's sell him for some change. Coincidentally. So, okay. We'll sell him. He saw a vision. The sun and the stars bowing, and he told his brothers they were angry. In the expression of their free will, they still confirm God's sovereign plan. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you seeing what I'm teaching you? They were free to do whatever they wanted to do. So there's that interplay again that we're talking about. Even Abraham had seen this a long time ago. In Genesis 15:13, the Bible says, he said to Abraham, knowing certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs. So Joseph was just living according to what God had prophesied. He says, I will serve them and afflict them 400 years. And also the nation they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possession. So Abraham knew far ahead. But let me teach you something. Isaiah 46:9. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Because are you learning something? If you're learning something, say, I'm learning something. Oh, this will bless you. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 9. The Bible says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Do you hear what God is saying? He says that I am that God who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that I have not done. So I am the God who sees the things that are yet to be done. It says, my counsel. Whose counsel? God's counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand. Verse 11. It says, calling a bird of prey from the east. The man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I've spoken it, and I will bring it also to pass. I have proposed it, and I will do it. It says, calling a bird of prey from the east. That's your God. He will call men from strange lands to favor you. Are you listening to me? That's your God. From everywhere. Calling people to favor. Things that don't look possible. That's the God you serve. And that's what God is saying. I announce the end from the beginning. I can bring order to your life. That's what God is saying. I can. I am that God. He showed it in the life of Moses and Melchizedek. A random man came. Are you getting it? That's the God you say. Say, that's my God.
That's my God.
I can bring a man from a far country to favor you. I can solve all the problems you are facing. I can bring ease to your life. That's the God you serve. He can come. He can favor you. If God puts you somewhere, stay there and check some of the greatest people in history. You know, there's something that they call outliers. People who, because of their preparation and by opportunity, they became some of the greatest people in the world. I get what I'm saying? They were prepared and opportunity met them. I was listening to a sermon and my pastor was saying he read a book. Like, what are the odds that I think it was Bill Gates. He happened to be in the university where the only mainframe computer was. So, call it his skill, but there was opportunity there that met him prepared. Are you listening to me? And made him great. Is everybody following me? This is important. So let me teach you how it works very quickly. How does this work? Are you ready? Listen, Moses and all of these guys were not special in and of themselves. He wasn't. Abraham wasn't special. The reason why God entered into Abimelech's room to confront him is because there was already a prophecy that this family that you want to break apart, this woman you want to sleep with, they are going to bet a nation. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are going to bet a nation. So, for the fulfillment of God's plan, he had to step in. He says, this one you cannot touch. Are you listening? This one you cannot touch. This one now I will defend with everything I have, because there is already a plan working. It's through that family that the Messiah would also be born. There is prophecy over their life. Even Joseph enjoyed that prophecy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even Joseph enjoyed that prophecy. Nothing could stop them. The moment Abraham bought into God's vision, that was the end. There's nothing you will do that will stop Abraham. The moment he bought into God's vision, nothing could stop him. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 9. It says that the election of God, that the purpose of God according to election may stand. So Israel, no matter who faced them, when God was not ready to send them to exile, will be defeated. Why? That the purpose of God according to election may stand. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why Israel would be one of the strongest war, military in the whole of the world, because the purpose of God according to election, I'm talking in those times, are you see what I'm saying, will stand. God had already planned that the Messiah will be born through their generation. So whatever you do, they will never be totally wiped out. Even when they are in exile, they will succeed. Are you listening to me, everybody? Even when they are in exile, they will what? They will succeed. What I'm telling you, even David knew it. So, how would it happen? Where some of us are struggling to hear the voice of God, Pharaoh had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Are you listening to me? These pagan kings had dreams. Why? Are you getting what I'm saying, everybody? Why? Because when God is about to fulfill his plan, whoever is in line, God would speak to anybody to make sure that plan is done. Are you seeing what I'm saying? God would favor anybody to make sure that that plan is done. There's a pool of Bethesda. Nothing personal is happening there. It does not matter. But whoever steps in, are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It is whoever steps in first. When the pool is fed, it's whoever steps in first that will be healed. That's how it works. And that's how the plan of God works. I have my plan. Your name might be Shile, Tunde, Nkechi, Amara. It doesn't matter. I have my plan. But the day you buy my vision and you align with my plan, every backing that backs my plan begins to back you. Are you hearing me, Catalyst? Every backing that backs my plan begins to back you because you've aligned with it. Because my plan is unstoppable. And if you are part of that plan, you become unstoppable. Are you learning something? You become what? Unstoppable. That's how it works. That's how it works. So the moment Joseph finds himself as part of the story for the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, no matter what you do, you cannot kill Joseph. Because it's been prophesied. God already showed Abraham that his people will be taken and they will be saved. So no matter what you do, Joseph is just a part of a prophecy. No matter what you do, he will not die. Do your free will, the counsel of God will stand. Are you listening to me? That's all. So the first key to order, both in your present and in the future, number one, is surrender to the divine purpose of God in the gospel. What did I say?
Surrender to the divine purpose of God in the
gospel. Surrender to what? The divine purpose of God in the gospel. And that's number one. This is important. I'll give you some time to write that very quickly. Are you all there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what does this mean? It means that when God is committed to his plan in the gospel, he's not committed to man outside the gospel. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He's committed to man in the context of the gospel. Outside salvation, God has no commitment to you. He says he has chosen you in him before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in what? In love. Do you see that? So if God chose you, it is always in the context of salvation. So if you surrender to the purpose of God, especially in the context of salvation, you're already in God's plan. Are you listening to me? You're already in God's plan. The moment you align, you become dangerous in such a way that when Paul is coming to arrest you, God will knock him off his horse. Why? You are in God's plan. Are you following me? You're in what? God's plan. And this is powerful. So, aligning. Oh, yes, they say things are hard. But the Bible says it is a hard thing to kick against the prick. So, anybody who comes to fight against you when you are in God's plan is akin to kicking against the pricks. Do you know what that means? You are kicking against stones. Hey, are you getting it? So, by sheer prophetic anointing, anyone who opposes you injures themselves. Hey, I don't think you will get what I'm teaching you. Is this making sense to you?
Yes,
so sometimes it can be dangerous. Sometimes it can be dangerous, especially when you are in God's plan. You have to watch your tongue sometimes. You know, because if you get angry and say, oh, what's this thing? If you stir God up to anger against that person for stopping his plan, can be detrimental to people. Are you listening to me? So, this is one of the things. Surrendering. The Bible says this is a hard thing to kick against the pricks. It is a hard thing. Anybody who is coming against you when you are in God's plan, you're already dangerous that way. It's a hard thing. It does not matter the government, who it is. It is a hard thing to kick against the priest. If God has ordained, and that's why sacrifice is the most important thing. You've given yourself to God. You said, God, use me for the fulfillment of your purpose. Or you say, God, if I want to take over this space for you so that I can finance your kingdom. God begins to bless you, because he knows that every access you have, every platform you get to, you're going to use it for the advancement of the gospel. Then someone comes and tries to bring you down. It's dangerous. The Bible says it's a hard thing to kick against the pricks. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is a hard thing to kick against the pricks. Check it everywhere. Check it. All the men who tried to stop God's plan. God's wrath was not good towards them. So when you understand what I'm teaching, you know that you can't stop Joseph. And you know that the secret to doing it is, number one, being in God's plan. Because God's plan is already blessed. Are you listening to me? No, oh my God, time is fast. But number two, prayer. Because this surrendering to God's plan does not take away prayer. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It does not take away prayer. And there's an advantage in prayer. What is that advantage? The Bible says, who knows the mind of God? No one. You have an advantage in prayer. And what's that advantage? The Spirit. It says the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as we ought to. It says, well, it helps our infirmities. It gives us groanings. And even though the context of those groanings that cannot be uttered is actually different, which is helping you anticipate the coming of Jesus, the Holy Spirit also helps you in regards of not knowing what to pray for. I get what I'm saying. Let me explain that again. Let's read the text. I think it's Romans chapter 8, right? It says, we know not what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit does what? Do you remember?
Prays for us
doing what? With what?
With groanings that cannot be understood.
Groanings that cannot be uttered. So listen, those groanings that cannot be uttered is not prayer, because prayer must be uttered. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But what I'm showing you is that you have an advantage, that because you have the Holy Ghost, you can never pray amiss. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because now the person you have as the Holy Ghost knows the mind of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He knows the mind of God. He knows what you ought to pray for. So yes, he helps you in anticipation for the coming of Jesus Christ, but he also helps you when it comes to prayer, that when you pray in tongues, you never pray amiss. So you will never waste a single moment in prayer because you have the Holy Ghost. You will not be praying wrong prayers because you have the Holy Ghost. He can help you pray the right things. Are you listening to me? Listen, everything I have taught you is the secret of order. If you get this right, you will never struggle with anything in your life. Are you ready to pray? Listen, you have an advantage in the Holy Ghost, that you know that everything you mention and you pray about in tongues is the right prayer points. Are you listening to me? It's the right things you need to pray about. And you might not have the right words to put it, but because you have the Holy Ghost, you can put it rightly. You can put it rightly. You will never pray amiss. So we're going to pray that way. And thank God for the advantage of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the advantage of the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray that, Lord Jesus, I've learned about order. I declare from now moving forward, Mala Porua Sebele Bantere Paleke Baruto Zepelembro Koto Pakadia Nembre Kenepa. You're going to pray and you're going to say, from now on, Holy Ghost, I will never waste a single moment of my life. I will be at the center of your plan for me. And I know that once I'm in your plan, you are backing me up. Can you unmute your mic, everybody, and begin to pray right now?